All right, time to have a chat now to Rupert Lee, who's one of the biggest owners in Australia, and his horses have been in rare form in recent weeks. Rupert, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you, Michael?
Not too bad, considering everything. How have you been handling the situation in isolation? Know you're a very active person. How are you dealing with things mentally at the moment?
We're a bit fortunate. My office is still operating, which is good. So all the staff come in, but they're all very disciplined as far as their social activities. So that's a good thing that they can stay preoccupied and do what they enjoy doing. And outside that, we all try to keep life as normal as possible and exercise where you can. And now they've opened the beaches again down at Sorrento. You can get down there and have a bit of a swim, which is great. Just all the pools are shut. So, we're a little bit fortunate. So it's all good.
Before I talk to you about all your horses, I did want to get your perspective during this period with the economic crisis as well as the health crisis. As an extremely successful businessman, what you see the future looking like? And there's a lot of concerned people out there, especially in racing, who run their own businesses and are financially doing things extremely tough at the moment. How do you see the situation right now and what it may look like in 6 to 12 months' time?
Well, I think it's going to be extremely tough for a lot of people, particularly those who are on the fringes. They didn't need many hiccups to take them over the edge, and that's unfortunate. There's definitely going to be some changes in not only racing, but I'm sure there's going to be changes in, you know, football and cricket and everything else because of the money's dried up. I mean, it's one of those unusual situations, having, you know, lived through two recessions and a GFC. Totally different. This is a situation where the taps have been totally turned off in a lot of cases, and that doesn't happen in a recession. You can have a slowdown in the economy and people don't make as much money and things are a bit tight, but this is something totally foreign to anyone who's been through the recessions. It's something which we're all experiencing for the first time, but there's no doubt there's going to be a massive adjustment. But, you know, hopefully, you know, Australians can listen and do all the disciplined things that we've been asked to do for the last 5 to 6 weeks and, you know, stay quarantined, because if we do that, you know, and we are a big island, if we can then isolate it, and I think we can knock it on the head pretty quickly here. That's in Australia, and hopefully life can get back to normality sooner than later for everybody's sake, not only just for, you know, people in work and people who have their own businesses, but in sport in general as well. So if we can all listen and behave correctly, I think we can knock it on the head pretty quickly. But as far as internationally, I'd say our borders are going to be shut until such time that we can find some sort of vaccination. And but as Australia, I mean, there's plenty to do here, and we're a great country to survive on our own anyway. But I'd say for the short term, there's going to be a lot of pain for a lot of people. And unfortunately, a lot of people may not come out of it with the businesses that they had when they went into it. So that's a tragedy of it all. But all I can say is that the people involved in racing and, you know, our Prime Minister, I mean, he's doing what I call an unbelievable job, because we're all learning on the run. And, yeah, he's throwing everything at it. And all we can do is take a hat off to all the people who are dealing with the problem at the moment. So, yeah, there's going to be a bit of short-term pain, but I think we'll come out of it quicker than what I think people are saying.
Do you think there'll be a realignment as far as racing is concerned with the economics, that maybe we were almost living beyond our means with the huge amount of prize money and also the huge cost of yearlings and service fees? Do you think that will all be realigned on the other side of this, and we may get to see some of that with the first day of the English sale today?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting first hour, isn't it? Because a lot of horses have already been withdrawn, which is a worry and a concern to Wyndham Inglis, but there's obviously a lot of good horses to go through, but I think that first hour is going to be a very telling hour. Yeah, my opinion, and I hope I'm wrong because I'm not a pessimist. I'm probably one of the best optimists you'll find, but I think there might be a bit of carnage out there today. Prices will come back. I think a lot of horses will get passed in, and I think a lot of horses will be sold after the sale, because vendors need to move their horses on and get some cash flow back into their businesses. But there's definitely going to be an adjustment to, you know, racing. I mean, they've already done it with halving some of the major races in the carnival in Sydney. There's going to be adjustments, as they've already made here, to Saturday racing. Because without turnover and without, you know, betting and everything else that supports the industry, there has to be a change, and obviously things will be fine-tuned until we get back to normality, which could be a year, 2 years. I'm not too sure how long, but I don't think it's going to be a quick fix. And it's going to be no different to football. I mean, there's going to be a massive adjustment in AFL and even cricket to a certain degree, where we're all going to take cuts, and for the survival of each sport and for each industry, everyone has to play their part and be prepared to take a cut. But yeah, today is going to tell the story, and I'm waiting for 10 a.m. to come around pretty quickly just to see the impact what this is going to have on the breeding industry. But I mean, if you're a buyer, I don't think it's going to be a better time for you to go and buy yourself a yearling if you've got the money. So buying a stock on the bottom of the share market. So you've got to have the money, but also the character to put your hand up, because once again, there's no certainty how long racing's going to be running at this level for. So I've got no doubt there's going to be a massive adjustment to the prices in the horses that go through today, which will obviously reflect then onto stand-in fees going forward into the next breeding season.
Rupert, I want to talk about some of the horses you've got, which are just unbelievable. Have we seen the end of Exceedance? He didn't really come back this time in. Is he off to the breeding barn?
Yeah, we didn't see the best of him. We all know how good Exceedance was, and I should say was, because he was just an exciting horse the way he ran. I mean, he and Bivouac, I think, were 2 out of 2, and they were two of the most exciting young three-year-olds coming through, including Yes, Yes, Yes. And we were hoping that they would all continue into their 4-year-old campaigns, but it's not to be. As I said, that decision will be made by Peter Orton and John Hawkes today, I think, as far as what his future is. But I think it's more likely that he'll be retired than unlikely that he'll keep racing. And unfortunately, Brutal was another one that we had set a campaign for him, which was going to be a late campaign, so we could take advantage of the Queensland Carnival and go from the Queensland Carnival, with all things being well, into Ascot and try to win that Group 1 black type race over in England. But now that that's off as well, so we had to make a commercial decision, and had a good chat to Henry Field the other evening, and we made the decision that it's best for retiring now, which is an absolute tragedy, because even as Henry said, he's never seen the horse look better. And I know John was saying himself that his performance on the track indicated that we had a big season ahead of us, but we've just got to make that commercial decision. Otherwise, we would have lost another 12 months before we got into the breeding barn.
Will you press on with Alabama Express?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. We will, because I don't know if it's noted, but he spent 9 days in the Werribee Clinic after the Australian Guineas. We knew something was amiss, because that just wasn't in his DNA to finish the race off like that. So he had a pretty bad virus, and he was at Werribee the next morning, and he didn't come out of there for, I think it was about 10 days. So, but he's now up at Yearlong, up at their start-up in Nagambie, and we had a photograph of him the other day, and if ever there's a stand-in in the making, it's definitely him. He's got the looks, and he's got the temperament, but he's a really lively race horse, and at this stage we'll head on to the spring, hopefully, all being well, that we'll be racing in the spring, and we'll see a bigger and stronger, as we've always said, with these young horses, come through and reach the levels we hope he will.
Master of Wine is probably the most exciting horse you've got at the moment, Rupert. You're throwing him in the deep end in the Queen Elizabeth on Saturday. I know John Hawkes has always had a huge opinion of this horse, and what he's done in his last few runs has certainly solidified that. Can he win the Queen Elizabeth, Rupert?
Well, I was trying to do a bit of a comparison. I was trying to think of the AFL Grand Final last year when Damien Hardwick had to make a decision to bring a young kid who was recruited mid-year, playing in the VFL, then he's playing in the Grand Final. And not only does he come and play in the Grand Final, which is like the Queen Elizabeth and this horse, going from a benchmark 78 or 80 into a Group 1 against these well-seasoned older horses. If we can do what the young Pippin did in the Grand Final, not only did he win a Grand Final, but he's one of their better players. So I'm hoping we can do exactly what he did in the Grand Final, that he comes and performs at the level we hope he can.
Well, if he's as good as Marlon Pickett was on Grand Final Day, you'll be happy come Saturday. What's his main aim come springtime? Is he Is he a Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup horse or a Cox Plate horse?
Michael, I think we're learning more about the horse. He's got that bit of brilliance about him, and you can never say never about a Melbourne Cup. We'd all love to win one, but I think at this stage, I think it's more likely that it might be like a Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate sort of path. But you know, without getting ahead of ourselves, I think we need to see how he comes through Saturday's race and just make sure that he is the horse we think he is, because if he can compete against these horses, then obviously he would be very competitive in a Caulfield Cup or a Cox Plate.
He could be competitive in anything from what we've seen. What about Buffalo River on Saturday? Where is he heading now, and what aims have you got in the long term?
Gee, I think he needed the paddock straight after that race, didn't he? I mean, that was one extraordinary run to be batting up at the end to the from the 1400 of Caulfield to the wide. And that, it wasn't just wide, he was pushed wide, and they went hard very early. And I think the second furlong or 200 metres, he broke the 11 second mark out wide on a heavy track. And to finish off, I thought it was quite an extraordinary run. I know we've had a big opinion of the horse, but he vindicated that on Saturday that he's well above average. So I think what we'll do is give him a pretty light campaign, because once again, we can't go to Queensland with him. So he might have one or two more runs and just get himself through the grades, and then maybe target races like the Rupert Clark and the Turek Handicap, those type of races.
Jonathan Darcy, the auctioneer of the Inglis online auction today. And Rupert, without giving any secrets away, have there been a few that have caught your eye that you'll be intending to bid on?
Yeah, definitely. As Jonathan said before, Paul Moroney's been active. He's went up to the Hunter, had a good look. John Hawkes only killed himself trying to get it all done in 2 or 3 days. And, you know, John doesn't muck around, so he's had a good look and we've come up with our short list. So, yeah, we're going to be active. And as I said before, it's you want to be there supporting vendors at the moment, because it's going to be tough. And as I said, we just need to help everyone through it. And if we can participate, then we're doing our little bit to keep the industry healthy.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Speaking of brilliant races and brilliant horses, you took on the best in the TJ Smith with Tafani, but gee, you must have been rapt with her performance.
Yeah, I think as Ronnie Duffy said on Sunday, that I think she's an underrated mare. I'm sure people would have been questioning, Mike's decision to run her the 2 weeks earlier and then again on Saturday. But if you look at her sectionals, I think she was, if not the fastest last 200 or near to it. And I think she's just looking for that extra bit of ground as well. And it wasn't one of those tracks that was favouring back markers on Saturday. So the run of her and also Centre Around the Lane were both terrific runs. So we had a fair bit to look at as well. I know Exceedance was disappointing on the day, but her run was up to the mark where we thought it would be. I think she might be, she's good, but is she that, you know, one length short of being really good? We're just not too sure over that distance. I think that probably is the case, but once we can get her out to 1,400 or more, I think, as I said, she'll be, I think, nearer to the mark, and hopefully we can get that Group 1 out of the way. But, yeah, we want to go across to Adelaide with her, but there's no certainty what's happening over there, because there are two nice Group 1s that she could compete in. But it's a guessing game at the moment, so while she's in Sydney, we may just go to the All-Aid Stakes and keep our fingers crossed that the 1,400 will be an opportunity for her to get that type Group 1.
Will Santa go to the All-Aged as well, Santa and Elaine?
I think so at this stage, because I think Anthony's of the opinion that he's now wanting to go to 1,400. So I think he's definitely going to it without having spoken to him. I think that is the case.
And when do we see Masked Crusader again? Is it in the spring, or is there an earlier run penciled in?
No, he had his first jump out last Friday, so he'll have another one, I would think, this Friday, and then he'll be off to the races. And once again, he's a the son of what I call one of the most promising stand-ins out there in Toronado. We've bought quite a few, and we've bred quite a few to him. As you saw, we had that nice winner last week, Quail Hollow, and they're doing so well, the Toronado. So, but we do have a very big opinion of Masked Crusader, and the way he won his first race by 5 lengths, and I think it was about 2 seconds above the class average. So he's come back as well as we had hoped. So we're looking forward to getting him to the track probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Gee, so many exciting horses, Rupert. Can you help the RSN listeners out with a few winners today, tomorrow, or throughout the week that you've that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think Rainbow Thief is once again one of those underestimated horses, and I would have loved to have seen him in the Doncaster on Saturday with, you know, 50 and a half on his back on a wet track over 1600. So he's going around tomorrow at Warwick Farm. He's drawn a nice barrier. He's got the conditions to suit, so I'd say he'll be very competitive in that. And Hangman has come back, probably the best he's ever come back since he's been here in Australia. And I know the jocks who rode him at the jump out on Friday said whatever he goes in, he'll be very hard to beat. But unfortunately, I've got another horse in it called Wild Planet. So unfortunately, we can't split them because they're trained by different trainers and there's a different ownership group. But hopefully, both can run well. It'd be great to get a Quinella. But I think if you back both horses, you'll get a return somewhere. If they don't win, they'll be coming second or third, I would think.
All right, Rupert, great to catch up and get an update on your stable of stars. And good luck on the online auction today as well.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting day. And look, you hope it's a fair market for everyone because they do such a great job, William Inglis, and you only hope that, you know, they can get through this and make it worthwhile for themselves, the vendors, and at the same time, you know, it's good market also for the purchasers. So fingers crossed, it's an even playing field and we all do well out of it.
Got one SMS asking, how many horses does Rupert have?
It's now three less than my wife.
That's your answer every time. Hey, good on you, Rupert.
I had two, but she's now got one extra.